Brock Purdy finally gets the contract extension that everyone was expecting him to get, and Nick Sirianni also getting a contract extension himself. We're now in week two of the Fumbrewski summer offseason. So today we're going to be talking about the AFC North and our top five safeties. This is the Fumbrewski Podcast.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has three touchdowns.
Someone's got to get that six or seven spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
Welcome to the Fumbrewski Podcast. He's CJ Medeiros. I'm Chris Kostich by Power 88 Dean Radio and Secret Weapon Consulting. And of course, big news over the weekend, and we're recording this Monday, May 19th. Obviously, you'll be seeing this Tuesday, May 20th, when this episode comes out. But we'll start with the news from over the weekend. Brock Purdy getting signed to a big-time contract extension, 5 years, $265 million deal with $181 million guaranteed. And I think the main consensus is that it's an overpay, but there's not really much else you can really do about it because that's just where the market is at. And Niners have basically made it clear that this is going to be their guy and have made it even more abundantly clear that this is going to be their franchise quarterback for at the very least the next six seasons because he still has one more year left on his contract. When we look at the team from last year, not a very good team. Last two seasons been getting picked apart in free agency, this year included. But with that, now they also come in with the second most cap space in the NFL, according to Niners Nation, as of 2 hours ago. And with a potential Fred Warner extension looming as well. Niners are locking up their franchise guys. Obviously, George Kittle from a couple weeks ago as well. So they're trying to. I think CJ, before the show, I think you said it best. There, what they should do is scrap everything clean and just start over from scratch, because what they have now, like signing Purdy now, yeah, you're locking up your franchise guy, but we still don't really have an idea of how he can play without guys like Deebo Samuel or Brandon Ayuk and just a healthy team in general. Or just a talent.
Yeah.
Obviously, last year they weren't very healthy. I'm just saying more just a talented team in general.
Yeah, no. You hit it. You basically summed up my point. So, yeah, off camera, people, this is what I was saying. Look, as far as the Purdy contract itself goes, I'll tell you this. Is it an overpay? Yeah. But I feel like the Niners are in the same boat that the Cowboys were in when they had to extend Dak Prescott, where it's like, is it an overpay? Yeah, but you just don't have the choice. That's literally just the market. These solid quarterbacks that can give you like about 3,900 to 4,000 yards, maybe around 20 to 25 touchdowns, they're at bare minimum. Like, at the barest minimum, going to set you back 150 mil total contract. Like, and that's literally just the market. Like, you're going to have to pay top five money to a guy who's fringe top 10. That's just, unfortunately, how the market is. You know, we can't really change that. But, and honestly, my hat's off to Purdy. I mean, hey, seeing how expensive San Francisco is to live in, maybe, just maybe you could finally afford a studio apartment on that. I'm joking. I'm just taking a shot at St. Fran. But here's the thing, people. While it's a nice story to see Mr. Irrelevant get all his money, we do have to realize the Niners aren't really going anywhere. Chris, like you mentioned, the past two free agencies, they've just been picked clean, especially last time they lost. Like all their entire defense, Talanoa Hufanga, I believe, is gone. Dre Greenlaw, oh, you better believe he's gone. One of their corners, whose name escapes me, gone. Leonard Floyd is gone. I think they lost one of their running backs. You know, Debo Samuel is also gone. One of their, I think, like, their starting center's gone as well. Like, they just, everybody was either traded or, you know, or just are allowed to let walk. And at the time, sure, they have $44 million in cap space now, but going into the season, they were in cap hell, or the offseason, they were in cap hell. And now, I mean, you know, now that the bill has come due and you've already paid, you still have some time, like, especially like you mentioned with the Fred Warner extension on the horizon. Between that and Purdy's extension kicking in next season, they're going to be right back where they started. And honestly, I have something to say that probably no Niners fans going to want to hear. But unfortunately for said Niners fans, I don't really hold their opinion in that high esteem. So just hear me out, okay, gang? Niner Nation, as it were. You probably just should have traded Purdy, and you should just tear the whole thing down and start over. Because when his extension kicks in and you give an extension to Fred Warner, who's about to turn 29, literally a year away from being 30 in like September or November or somewhere in that region, then you're literally going to be right back where you started in cap hell. And then what? Like, Ayuk, there's a very real chance you end up regretting that because he, and I know we're going to hear, oh, but he got hurt. Well, he was playing horribly beforehand. Christian McCaffrey can't stay healthy. I mean, he still has George Kittle, but I think he's either pushing 30 or now is 30. Trent Williams. I mean, it's Trent Williams. He's really getting up there in age. He's been in the league forever. So honestly, it sucks, but you need to tear it down. Like, picture the Niners like a building, right? If you have a building that burns down, then you're not going to just build on top of it and just say, all right, we're just going to build on the charred remains. No, you break it. You break the rest of it down. You clear it away and you start completely from scratch. That's at least what they should do. Will they? No, obviously not. That shows by the Purdy extension. And also, I love Purdy, but we've never seen him without, well, football's equivalent of the Avengers around him, right? Last season, I think, was a glimpse into that. And now this year, you're really going to have to prove you're worth that contract. Because, you know, let's be real. I love Christian McCaffrey, but it's essentially a given that he's not going to play all 17 games. It's just not, or 17 games. That's just not going to happen. Kittle, you better hope he stays healthy. You better hope. Like, a lot of this is just hope. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Chris, sorry. I was saying, like, a lot of the Niners' plans are literally just hope. Hope Purdy can win without a super team. Hope McCaffrey stays healthy. Hope Ayuk rehabs okay. Hope none of your other older players lose a step. Like, you have a lot riding on hope, and I just don't think it's a good idea. I think they just should have torn it down.
Yeah, I agree. I think you also mentioned some of the age on some of the guys, like Trent Williams, Fred Warner's about to be 29. This is a Niners team that is currently tied for second in the league for average age at 27.1. They're tied with the Steelers.
Who's first? Do you know? It's something I wonder.
The Washington Commanders.
Huh. Interesting. Yeah. Team I would have guessed.
But so you mentioned that. Wanted to throw that out there. I mean, last year was just an all-around dumpster fire for the Niners in general. You talk about your main targets, really, and so much injury going on with those main guys, like your. The only guy that played all 17 games was Kyle Juszczyk. But yeah, as we mentioned, Purdy did not have the greatest season. 3,800 yards, 20 touchdowns, 12 interceptions. Also didn't play in a couple games as well. But a far cry from the 2023 season where He had 4,280 yards, 31 touchdowns to 11 interceptions. So it's not good. Not looking great, but I guess we'll talk about that more when we get into our NFC West preview down the line in the offseason. But looking at the other contract extension that happened, I want to say like half or like an hour ago from when we're recording this right now, Nick Sirianni getting a contract a multi-year contract extension, I should say. The details of the contract haven't been released, but that's kind of whatever because it doesn't affect anything. The main thing is that you've locked in your Super Bowl winning head coach for another however many plus seasons the original contract was on. And I mean, the way that the Eagles have been playing, how they've been operating the last, let's call it five seasons. I think that's we could probably put the line right when Doug Peterson gets fired, right? I think that would be a good like starting point. Ever since then, it's been gold, been absolute gold. Playoff appearances, yeah, they had one first round exit, but that was just an all around dumpster fire of a year where they ended up blowing it the back half of the season. I'm talking about 2023. And of course, bounce back, win a Super Bowl this past season. Now going to be looking to potentially repeat. They did lose some guys, but the biggest thing is that you've retained your coach who, I mean, has good status in the locker room. I know that it's always week in or week out of, all right, are we going to hate Nick Sirianni or are we not going to hate Nick Sirianni? What's going to happen here? But I had this take, I think probably back around Super Bowl time when we had Mike from Squawking Eagles on. Like, I see Nick Sirianni in the same light as like Joe Mazzulla for the Boston Celtics. He's the perfect coach because he embodies the dickhead behavior of Philly. But yeah, TJ, your thoughts on the Nick Sirianni extendo?
There's not really a whole lot to go on. It's one of those things where you can't justify not extending him. He literally just won a Super Bowl, you know? I mean, that's literally it. I know a lot of people don't like him, and some people say it was more the roster than his game planning. Regardless, you got to consider the optics. He's not, you know, he's not a guy you could just let walk, especially since now he's got a ring. He's been to two Super Bowls. He's now won one. So, and especially the fact that he and the rest of the crew there in Philly put on an absolute clinic against the Chiefs, you know, making the team that we thought was untouchable just due to sheer luck alone. Just, you know, they made them look like a JV squad out there. So, yeah, I mean, you have to. And honestly, I know we talk about, oh, some coach contracts are weird, but let's be real. A coach contract doesn't affect a team's salary cap, like, at all. I mean, there are some teams that will spend big on coaches or in other areas, like improving the front office or getting a new assistant GM or, heck, even upgrading the stadium, and then just because they have cheap owners, they won't spend in free agency. But Philly's not like that. So, I don't know. Like, I mean, it makes sense is all. There's really not a whole lot to go on.
Yeah. I think to one more thing to kind of really wrap this thing together, Nick Sirianni, current winning percentage as head coach of the Eagles, 70.6%, 48-20 regular season record. In the Super Bowl era, minimum of 50 games, which obviously he's surpassed that, well surpassed that. This ranks him as the third highest by head coach in the Super Bowl era, and he currently is winning percentage is also the highest among active NFL head coaches.
Huh. How do you like that? He hasn't been around that long, but still, like, that's still really good.
Very good. Yeah, no, he hasn't been around long, but yeah, he's made an impact regardless. Like, you could still have a shit head coach, and you could have a shit head coach with this team, and they're probably crawling into the playoffs for all we know. Like, I think that we should start a narrative that Nick Sirianni is a good coach, but yeah, he's going to have bad coaching decisions like everyone else does.
True. I can agree with that.
Cool. Nice. I think that's a good way to wrap that one up.
Pretty much, yeah.
All right, we're going to go to break. When we come back, we're going to get into the AFC North preview. I was about to say NFC South for some reason, but AFC North preview. Are the Ravens going to be the top dog again, or is Joe Burrow and the Bengals making a run? Maybe they won't. Are the Steelers getting Aaron Rodgers? I don't know. After this, or coming up after the break.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has 3 touchdowns.
Someone's got to get that 6th or 7th spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
Welcome back to the Fumble Rooski Podcast. He's CJ. I'm Chris. Let's get into it. AFC North. We'll start the same way we did last week with the AFC East. Honestly, we're probably just going to do it the same way every single week at this point anyways. But we're just going to go from the bottom up in terms of how the division lasted last season. So kind of just a little refresher. Baltimore Ravens were 12-5, won the division. Steelers 10-7, second. Bengals 9-8, third. And the Browns 3-14. In last place. There's your refresher. Now let's get into it. So the Browns, if we're starting from the bottom up, we'll start with the Browns. So it's confirmed you're not going to have Deshaun Watson for the whole season. So you're real. What a quarterback room, by the way. What a quarterback room. Obviously, Shedeur Sanders. That's kind of everyone knows. Joe Flacco. Kenny Pickett, Dylan Gabriel, those are your 4 quarterbacks that are going to be fighting for the starting spot in Cleveland. That is fun.
That's a team.
That is a team.
That's all.
Yeah, that's a team. I don't know if you're going to get the same magic with Joe Flacco as you did in 23. I think you can make a bet on that. That's not going to happen.
Yeah. Very unlikely, at least.
Very unlikely. Shedeur. See what happens with him. We've also been hearing a lot of bad things about Dylan Gabriel. Not a character thing. Just he's not looking good in the voluntary OTAs right now. And one point that I did want to bring up, especially from when we were talking with Tony Pauline when he was on the show, was when we asked him about the Browns, like, you know, it was them trading back, granted a couple spots, and potentially going with Travis Hunter and instead going with Mason Graham. Was that kind of them waving the white flag a little bit? And I think he made a good point in like how this was a playoff team a couple of years ago and they just got shattered, absolutely shattered with injuries throughout the entirety of the season.
Yeah.
Obviously week 18, like what's 90% of their roster was on the injury report or something like that.
Something to that effect. Yes.
Something ridiculous. I don't really see this Cleveland team being anything special still. I think one of your biggest losses as well is Nick Chubb. Considering that you haven't, it's been made clear now that you're not going to sign him back. I do say biggest loss, but also with caution because of his knee exploding on him. Not his fault. Not anyone's fault. Let's blame Minkah Fitzpatrick. Minkah Fitzpatrick. But I don't see the Browns making a big splash again. Maybe if anything, 6 wins, I think, would be a good little area for them. Maybe 7, but either way, I got them finishing last in the division.
Yeah, 7's really just everything goes right. You know, that is literally like your best case scenario. Even if everything does go right, I don't really think there's any way in hell that they're going to reach 500.
Yeah. It's one of those things where it's like you're going to finish with 7 wins. and four or and half of them are going to be sneaky wins against your division rivals.
Probably, yeah.
Probably. Anything else you want to touch on with the Browns?
Well, actually, yeah, there is. oh my goodness, isn't that just a team as a whole, man? I don't know. And the thing with Dylan Gabriel is, I know they drafted him over Shador, and that's when the whole thing, oh, will it be Shador? Will it be Gabriel? They drafted Gabriel higher. Apparently the front office just likes him better. But the thing is, he's small. And there's a difference, you know, between being a small player versus playing small. That's a guy who plays small. And it doesn't matter what your height is, do you look the part? He just doesn't look the part. He looks small. You know, you even have reporters in the stands joking, hey, yeah, I'm taller than him. And Nick Chubb, yeah, losing him sucks, but the thing is for the Browns, let's be real, it's going to get worse before it gets better. You know, you got the diddler there. Deshaun Watson's still under contract. I mean, is Joe Flacco going to give you that magic like Chris said? No, no. I mean, you better hope Gabriel or Shador pans out, because then other than that, you got Super Bowl champion Kenny Pickett? Nah, I don't know. Well, and also I do want to say one thing. Well, Myles Garrett, you chose this. Remember how he wanted out and the Browns offered him a stupid amount of money? Well, there you go, Myles. You reap what you sow, bud. I hope we don't see that Myles Garrett 30 for 30 in like 20 years where he's like, oh, I'm so sad I never won a ring. It's like you could have avoided this.
Yeah. Just looking at the rest of the team too, like looking at your receiver room. You got Jerry Jeudy, who showed some good upside last season. Cedric Tillman, he had some good spots as well. Deontay Johnson, you might as well just leave him on the side of the street and see what the fuck happens, because that's just too easy.
I get it. I do. I am of that mindset where I think they probably should have drafted a receiver, but I don't know. Too late now, I guess. I don't know what their thought process was behind behind not drafting one.
I don't either. Looking at the Bengals, considering that they finished third, the way that they're projecting right now, their trajectory, I should say, is they're probably looking at another third place finish and finishing the same way that they did last year at 9-8, especially if they keep kicking the can down the road with Trey Hendrickson and he stays true to his word and not plays this next season. It's just unbelievable. They thought that they could get one over on Hendrickson, Chase, and Higgins and say, oh, they're going to have a terrible year or not have a great year, and we're going to lowball the shit out of them. Then they have career years, and they still lowball the shit out of them. So it's like, what did you expect? We say it year in and year out. Like, what the hell do you expect at this point?
No, seriously, that's a great point. The Bengals have to have one of, if not the dumbest GMs in the league. How they literally hope that their guys fail so that they don't have to pay them. Like, I don't understand how you can run any kind of serious organization like that. Then, of course, they never do. And then the market dictates their actions instead of their actions dictating the market. Unfortunately, this is going to be the team they were last year, where they drop 50 points a game, but their defense is so abysmal that they give up 55. Like, every game for the Bengals is going to be a shootout unless they're playing a team that's just really, really weak. Even still, a weak team could probably at least put up 20 on them. Also, yep. The offensive line still isn't great. Somehow, they've just kind of let that issue fester, but whatever, man.
Yeah. They also got rid of their defensive coordinator. Who's their defense coordinator now?
It was Lou Anarumo. I don't know the new one off the top of my head.
Gonna do a quick search.
But yeah, well, Chris is doing that, everyone.
Al Golden.
Like I said, for the Bengals, it's just gonna get a lot worse before it gets better. And that's it. It gets better.
So Al Golden was the defensive coordinator at Notre Dame.
Yeah, still a weird hiring, honestly.
Thing could have gone a different route, but I mean, seeing what Al, I think Al Golden had showcased some good. His defense played pretty well in the national championship, minus that. Or let me backtrack real quick. His defense did well in the playoffs, not so much the championship.
You know, when they needed it to. Yeah. Saying.
Anyways, maybe that's a spark they need on defense, especially given the fact, as you mentioned, there was games where they were putting up 40 and the other team's putting up 50. Or you just have a abysmally slow start to the season. You get to the bye week, still a little slow, but then you get on a big run, a big playoff push to the end, but you end up digging yourself too big a hole to climb yourself out of, and it starts to turn into you relying on other people to help yourself out.
That's literally what happens to them every year, I'm afraid.
Yep. I wouldn't be surprised if it happens this year, but I'd also love to play the little game of what's their record going to be this season. I'll give them 9-8, 10-7.
Yeah, ceiling's probably 11. I mean, which feels weird because look at that offense. And you're like, no way, it should be more. But I just don't trust them to, you know, do anything because their defense and their offensive line are just terrible.
I'll give them second place in the division, but they're not competing for the title.
Yeah.
They're probably competing up until like the last 3 weeks.
Probably, yes.
Yeah. Looking at the Steelers, they have basically been in limbo this entire offseason. More so just talking about the whole Aaron Rodgers thing, which like we saw a theory like a couple weeks ago or maybe a week or two ago, and I think it was around draft time maybe, and it was basically talking about how Aaron Rodgers hasn't made a decision yet because of the NFL schedule release, and he wanted to wait till afterwards so then the Steelers wouldn't get as many primetime games, which so far has been the case. The Steelers did not get a ton of primetime games this year. Looking at the schedule right now, they're only primetime games. They have a game in Europe against Minnesota, Thursday night against Cincinnati, Sunday night against Green Bay, another Sunday nighter against LA, and then they have a Monday night game against Miami. I feel like the standard in terms of Monday night games, I guess, maybe a little below, but there's a schedule, Aaron. What are you going to do now? What's the plan now? You're going to sign or you're not going to sign? That's basically it. He doesn't sign. Mason Rudolph, Will Howard, and Skylar Thompson are your quarterbacks. Now, I know there isn't a lot of love about Will Howard, but I think that there is a lot of love in the fact that this is a kid that is definitely a leader and will be able to study a playbook like that. So I think that's probably the one good thing that you can get out of him, and maybe he develops well. Other than that, this quarterback room, disgusting.
I wouldn't count on it, personally. I'm going to keep this short. It all hinges on Rodgers. And like I said, there was that report about there's this real uneasiness in the Steelers organization that it's more likely than not at this point, unless Rodgers decides to stop being a mercurial little bastard and actually choose a team, I could see him just retiring.
You might as well just fucking retire.
Yeah, he probably should, honestly. And as far as I go, it's literally getting to the point where honestly, like, you can't go into the season with Mason Rudolph as QB1 because you know what's going to happen, right? Because you know the joke, the Pittsburgh Steelers under Tomlin never have a losing season. This might be it. If your QB1 is Mason Rudolph, then And that's going to be that one blemish on Tomlin's record. And once his big claim to fame is gone, then you can justify firing him really easily.
I think the only good thing that you have out of the Mason Rudolph starting for you or just being in your quarterback room is that he knows the system. That's probably the only real good thing they have about him. In terms of the Steelers, I think I'm going to hop on your bandwagon in terms of this might be the year that they're going to fall behind or fall under 500. I'll hit him with the 8-9 record. How about that?
Finishing third. Yeah. Want to move on to Baltimore?
Yeah, let's go to Baltimore. The division winner of last season, losing in the AFC divisional round to the Ravens after beating the Steelers in the wild card round. Loss of the Bills on the road in the divisional round. Just if we're talking a team that is going to make a playoff run, I'm just going to stop counting on it. That's for sure. Unless this team shows me anything other than like a great regular season performance, Super Bowl run, I don't know. They haven't done anything in the playoffs to show me that they're going to make a Super Bowl run ever. The year that they got the one seed, but then they blew it at home in the AFC Championship game against the Chiefs. Like that was probably the one year I would have probably said, yeah, they're probably going to make the Super Bowl. But I mean, credit to them. There is a team that still gets themselves into a top two seed pretty much every single season, or a top three seed, I should say, at the very least, every single season. But other than that, what else are they doing? They're getting Lamar Jackson an MVP.
Yeah. That's
basically it. I mean, freaking Tuck, our resident Ravens fan, one of our hosts, will tell you shit. Like last year, he said, if depending on how the first 4 weeks go, get rid of Harbaugh.
Yeah. No, I mean, he's right. I mean, the thing with Harbaugh is, I feel like he gets coddled too much by the establishment NFL media folk, because everybody likes to dump on Lamar Jackson and just say he doesn't have that dog in him. He doesn't have that clutch gene, right? To which I say, all right, why is Harbaugh getting a free pass? And they're like, yeah, well, you can't talk about Harbaugh. You have to realize he has a ring. I'm like, okay, cool. And I said this last time, Harbaugh's ring is the exception, not the rule. I'm sorry. Like, I don't have to respect the ring. Like, no, he has won. And that was back in the 2012-2013 NFL season. For reference, I was what, in like fifth grade when that happened? I've now been graduated from college, and he has done a heaping helping of nothing. So, and I keep saying the Steelers need to get rid of Tomlin. Well, I need to be even-handed. What's Harbaugh ever going to win you? I mean, sure, Lamar has MVPs, but that seems to be more a Lamar thing than anything. And one last thing, for the love of God, get Lamar some pass catchers. I've been kind of holding my tongue about this, but Lamar has never had a true elite, like, game-breaking wide receiver one. He's all, you know, Mark Andrews is a good tight end, if not sometimes unreliable in the postseason. Isaiah Likely is a good TE2. You got Derrick Henry, but then what, Zay Flowers and old DeAndre Hopkins? I mean, the most elite wide receiver they've had in recent memory was like that 3-year run with Steve Smith Sr. where he was ancient. Like, the Ravens have to open up the pocketbook and get Lamar like a really good wide receiver. Like, it's just, it's not, I don't understand. You spend a first rounder on Rashad Bateman, he's been nothing. Zay Flowers at least has promise, but I don't know, like, maybe if Lamar actually had someone, not a tight end to throw to, and outside of Zay Flowers, because you know, you can erase him. I mean, if he's not on his game, then what? Also, the pass rush has been non-existent, you know, since Harbaugh is a big defensive guy. It's like, where the hell has the pass rush been? You remember how awful their defense was last year? I mean, heck, even guys like Roquan Smith took a step back. So I don't know. I don't see anyone from the AFC North competing for a Super Bowl. Although if I had to hedge my bets, the Ravens would win.
Yeah. I'd say the biggest thing that they have been able to accomplish is signing Derrick Henry to a contract extension, which actually just made, obviously it was news came out sometime last week, and now it was made official today. Pen has been put to paper this morning. So that was a 2-year, $30 million extension that he got, making him a Raven through 2027, which kind of have to do at that point, but good move.
Yeah.
In terms of the Ravens themselves, 12-13 wins. They're winning the division. Outside of that, in the playoffs, probably going to get bounced in the divisional round. They, for all we know, they're probably going to have to go on the road again. Maybe they get lucky and get the one seed. I think this is a year that they could definitely get the one seed again.
Yeah. I mean, true, but we've kind of done this to death. You want to move on?
Yeah, let's move on. We're going to take a quick break when we come back. We're going to get into our linebacker rankings.
It may not have always
little quick to the gun there, Adam. But CJ and I are going to do our top five linebackers for this upcoming season. This is the Fumble Risky Podcast.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has 3 touchdowns. Someone's got to get that 6th or 7th spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
Welcome back to the Fumble Risky Podcast by Powered 8, Dean Radio, and Secret Weapon Consulting. Goddamn. He's Medeiros, I'm Kostich. Let's get into our top five rankings for linebackers. CJ, I'll let you take the floor first here.
Ah, thank you. You're very generous. All right, jumping right into it. This might ruffle some feathers, my entire ranking, so you've been warned. Either way, my number five linebacker for the Kansas City Chiefs, I think he just got an extension, old Nick Bolton. Last season, 106 tackles, 3 sacks, 6 passes batted away, a forced fumble. I mean, what do you want me to say? He's been an anchor. I mean, you can talk about Chris Jones all you want, but of that linebacker core and of, like, he's not a DB, but even in that defensive backfield, all the linebackers, like, everybody not on the line, he's been the leader. He's been the signal caller. He's been the anchor. You know, took him or helped take him to a Super Bowl for a third straight season. Also, he flies around the field, getting 11 tackles for loss, 7 QB hits. I mean, hey, like, it's Nick Bolton at this point. I know he's not, like, a household name, but he should be. Speaking of not a household name, we are moving on to number 4, and that is Bobby Okereke of the New York Giants. This guy is painfully underrated. Sure, last year he only had 93 tackles. Ooh, terrifying. But picture this. 2 sacks. 3 forced fumbles, 2 fumble recoveries, 3 passes batted away as well. And what I like about him is that he's solid in coverage. You know, linebackers get targeted a lot, but he only gave up a 61.2% completion percentage and didn't even give up an entire 300 yards, only gave up 284. This is a guy who flies around the field. And entering his third season with the Giants, I think Okereke is going to keep playing really well, especially as the Giants start to find their own. Also, 2 sacks as well. He's pretty effective on the blitz as well. And that's, for me, what I really like about Okereke, why he's here. It's the coverage upside. From one Bobby to another, we are going to Bobby Wagner at my number 3. I keep saying, oh, I'm waiting for the fall off, but what if he just never does? I mean, he's entering what is 14th season in the NFL. Last season, 132 combined tackles, 2 sacks. He had a forced fumble, 2 fumble recoveries, 4 passes batted away as well. And even in coverage, only giving up 215 yards. So I think that's like the least amount of yardage given up by anyone in my top 5. So the thing is, people don't like him because there's just not a lot of flash. But I don't care. If you are at the age he is, and I believe he's 34, to go to a Pro Bowl to be AP second team, or AP all second team, I mean, that it speaks for himself. And I have a feeling, you know, I keep saying, oh, I might be waiting for the fall off, but nah, not anymore. Well, it could be 10 years in the future, and he's still going to have his defense, or I mean, the opposing offense hitting the old Hank Hill. God damn it, Bobby. You know, I'm sorry, I had to. So moving on to my number two, probably one of the biggest risers in all the NFL, position, regardless of position, Zach Bond of the Philadelphia Eagles, bursting onto the scene last season, 151 tackles, 11 tackles for loss, 5 QB hits, 3.5 sacks, 4 passes defended, and 5 forced fumbles with a fumble recovery and a pick. And no touchdowns given up last season in coverage, but he did allow about 380 yards, 379, give or take. So yeah, the only reason he's not number one for Zach Bond, although statistically he probably should be, is simply that this is his first year of truly elite play. He spent the first 4 seasons of his career with the New Orleans Saints and then goes to Philly, changes scenery, gets in the Pro Bowl, first team All-Pro, 5th place for Defensive Player of the Year. This man is just different. Now he's got a Super Bowl ring to his name as well. But my question is to him, can you do it again? Can you do it again? And now my number one. I'm sorry, Fred Warner. Who else was it going to be? I mean, think about it, right? 131 tackles, 5 tackles for loss, 2 QB hits, and a sack. But that's not the point. He flew around the field getting 2 picks, 7 passes broken up, and 4 forced fumbles. 4. Didn't even give up 400 yards in coverage as well. Like, you know, and getting a lot of tackles, like, you know, a few tackles for loss as well. Just flying around, just dropping into coverage. Like I said, like batting away 7 passes, that's huge. And you know what the funniest part is? Statistically, he was a top 3 linebacker in the NFL last season. And he was playing on like a sprained MCL or something like that. He literally
so a sprained ankle.
Or sprained ankle.
High ankle sprain or something.
He literally played last season through a high ankle sprain, and he still put up those numbers. Well, guess what? Now he's 100%, and I have no reason to believe he won't be at number one this season as well. That's my list. Chris, what's yours?
My 5 and 4 are going to be different compared to yours, much like the safeties. So we'll start out with a splash. We're going to go newly signed linebacker for the Patriots, Robert Spillane. Now, yeah, obviously, there's a little bias, probably. I did say Jabril Peppers is going to be top 5 next season. I feel more strongly about Robert Spillane being a top 5 linebacker than I do about Jabril Peppers being a top 5 safety. How about that? Now, this is it. There are coverage issues, yeah, for sure. Well, this is a guy that put up 158 total tackles, 10 tackles for losses. You need a guy that's going to fill the gap, pause. He's going to do that. Much like Fred Warner, just minus the coverage side, he's all over the place.
And I feel like Vrabel could coach that out of him, too, for what it's
exactly,
worth.
Exactly. This guy that's going to complement well with the Mike Vrabel defense, and it's going to catapult him into a top 5 worthy linebacker. This is 2 years now where he's put up over 145 total tackles as well. Did his time in Pittsburgh, didn't get a lot of time, and then he got to Vegas in 23 and has been pretty much one of the main stables, one of the main staples minus Max Crosby of that defense. Going to number 4, Zaire Franklin led the league in total tackles with 173, 3.5 sacks, 11 tackles for loss, 5 forced fumbles. When I think of Zaire Franklin, I think of guys that don't get enough love, especially for a Colts defense that was not very great either. Which, yeah, obviously, Zaire Franklin isn't the most perfect linebacker, but he's a guy that, obviously, a staple of the Colts defense, is going to make that extra jump. I mean, if people aren't talking about him being top 5, they're going to be talking about him being top 5 this next season.
Yeah.
Going into my top 3, very similar to CJ's, but the difference with mine is that I got Zach Bond at 3 and Bobby Wagner at 2. For me, CJ, I think it sums up with what you just said. He came out of nowhere. He came out of nowhere. Who's to say that he's going to produce the same exact way this next season? I mean, we could say the same damn thing about Bobby Wagner as well. Bobby Wagner's MI2. We could say the same damn thing about him. But it's just hard to deny the facts that we see them still competing and still producing at that level, especially with Bobby Wagner. He's filled the role of the veteran leader of that defense so perfectly, which it's weird to keep saying that this Washington team is young after we just said earlier in this episode that they have average age. They have the oldest team in the league at 28 years old. And then you got Bobby Wagner in his upcoming 14th season in the league leading the way. But it's not even to disrespect Zach Bond. He's still a fantastic linebacker. But I got Bobby Wagner getting that edge on him. And then around at the top, there's not really much else to say about Fred Warner. But he's the number one linebacker. And he's going to end up getting paid like the number one linebacker once the Niners do end up getting that coming around to that extension. Right now, the highest linebacker per AAV is Roquan Smith, and you can bet your ass that Fred Warner's going to retake that spot. And that's my top five.
I get it. The only thing that I would have any kind of mild disagreement on is the thing is, Spillane, now look, bias aside, I can see as more likely to be in the top five of his position than Jabril Peppers. But the Zaire Franklin thing, I get. Like, don't get me wrong, I understand it. But he always struck me as one of those guys who just racks up tackles and not a whole lot else. And look, 190, however much, like, that he had, that's good. But, you know. Tackles necessarily don't make you an elite at your position. Looking at you, Kenneth Murray.
No, I will 100% agree with that. But I think that there's other statistics out there for Zaire Franklin to showcase that he is capable of being that top five guy or a top five guy.
Possibly. Yeah, I get it. I get it. I do. I see the vision.
Yeah. Good. Good. That's all the scheduled content that we have for today's episode. CJ, anything else you want to touch on before we sign off?
Nope, I'm good.
Cool. Good. Great. That'll do it for us tonight. Thank you for tuning in for another Tuesday episode of the Fumble Rooski Podcast. New episode coming out next Tuesday at 7:30. Be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel, and we also have all our episodes available on Spotify, Spreaker, Apple Podcast, iHeartRadio, Google Podcast, and so much more. Be sure to follow our Instagram, FumbleRooski_podcast, to keep up with the pod and the latest coverage on the NFL. Otherwise, CJ Medeiros, I'm Chris Kostich, Adam Wright, our splendid producer. We'll see you next Tuesday. Over and out.